As Becca Martin Brown mentioned earlier in our program, there are lots of places to view art this month, including Arcega's at the Depot, which is presenting Beneath the Surface, an exhibit featuring recent works by John Rankin. Just east along Dixon Street, the Joy Pratt Markham Gallery inside the Walton Arts Center has become the site of Linking the Past to the Present, recent works by Anita Fields and Tony Tiger. And on the square, the Fayetteville Underground is featuring the retrofuturism of Oklahoma artist Robert Shin, as well as member artist Jan Gosnell's newest body of work, The Palette as Subject.
There are some art events of interest taking place up the hill at the University of Arkansas this month. Resonance, Audible Silence, and Portraiture is on display now through December 4th in the UA Fine Arts Center Gallery. The exhibit is described as a visceral portrait of devotion and beauty that challenges viewers to confront the deepest of human emotions that reside within the panorama of mortality. A reception is scheduled for 5 o'clock Thursday evening, and that will be followed at 6 with a lecture in Giffel's Auditorium by Petta Coyne, one of the artists whose work is on display.
An Odyssey of Dreams, a Decade of Paintings, 2003-2012, will be on display through December 6 at the Ann Kittrell Gallery inside the Student Union on the University of Arkansas campus. This traveling exhibition will feature the latest body of work by internationally renowned British artist Basil Alkazi.
Hunter G. Connor will be the featured artist at the Press Room in Bentonville during the month of November. An artist reception is scheduled for 6 to 8 p.m. Monday, November 18th. The 16-year-old's exhibition is curated by the Norberta Philbrook Gallery, who is also hosting a reception from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Saturday, November 23rd, for painter Paula Jones.
In Siloam Springs, the Wingate Visual Arts West Gallery on the John Brown University campus is the site of Champion Trees of Arkansas, Artist Journey. The exhibition features the work of color pencil artist Linda Palmer.
Beirut Speaks is another new exhibition that opened last week. The photography exhibit is on display at Coco's Lebanese Cafe in Fayetteville, and it was created by Jamie Holland. The University of Arkansas student who grew up in Helena and earned a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in graphic design from Arkansas State University is now working on a master's degree in cultural anthropology with a focus on Middle Eastern studies. Earlier this summer, she was able to spend about 6 weeks in Beirut, Lebanon, to study a unique form of street art.
There is one photo of this huge wall in Carantina in Beirut, and it says Beirut Teki, which means Beirut speaks. But before that, it was in 2007 when, after like a series of bad things started to happen and the invasion, a street artist named Fish with a Lebanese filmmaker called Siska wrote on this huge wall. It said Beirut in Tekin, which means if Beirut could speak. And then, like, 7 years later, you know, this graffiti movement is just really getting bigger and bigger. And so Fish went back and wrote Beirut Speaks over that wall. So I thought that was really inspiring and really cool.
The specific kind of street art Holland is studying is known as calligraffiti. It combines graffiti with Arabic letters and Arabic calligraphy. During her trip, she was able to interview different artists, and through her research, Holland says she discovered that in Lebanon, they don't understand the concept of tagging and graffiti art as we know it in the United States. She says these street artists began writing in Arabic and using calligraphy because it presented more of a challenge to them, and also because it can be read by all Lebanese citizens, who Holland says grow up speaking Arabic, French, and English. She says in talking to people, she found this theme of an identity crisis, perhaps because the Mediterranean country has been influenced by a variety of cultures. However, the street artists feel Arabic is their heritage, and they really want to make a claim to that.
And also, they know very well that the politics in Lebanon aren't that great. It's very divided with sectarian discord and struggles. And so they decided, because their messages can be read, they wanted to try to empower their citizens by writing messages that say things about their country, you know, and sometimes, more often than not, the messages are very, they have a lot of satire and humor in them. It's not really meant to, you know, save Lebanon. They're not trying to make Lebanon secular, because they know that that's a ginormous task that they cannot do. But they know that they can empower their citizens by, you know, asking a question with their messages, not necessarily pointing to an alternative or finding an answer for the sectarian discord, but they can tell their citizens through their work that, you know, they do have a choice in the political, social atmosphere.
Holland says they are embellishing their country by taking calligraphy, which is so artistic, traditional, and embedded in their society, and mixing it with graffiti. Holland also says she found the artists are influencing young audiences in a positive way.
One of the more prominent graffiti crews, they're called Ashik Mon in Lebanon. They studied graphic design in college, and then they worked for advertising companies, and then they decided to use their work. And so now they do an urban wear shop where they have T-shirts and hats and things like that. They also do a lot of work for art nonprofits and things like that. And they call this old school meets new school. So they're taking the old school calligraphy and applying it to the new school graffiti. And they feel like they're doing a lot of good with it. And I really think that they are, because a younger generation sees this and they look at the Arabic words on the graffiti and they can read it. And, you know, they feel that Arabic is becoming cool again in a society where it wasn't as cool. And so now a younger generation wants to kind of mimic the Arabic graffiti because, you know, it's what they speak. It's what they grow up learning to speak. And rather than, like, mimic other forms of graffiti that aren't really that don't really apply to Lebanon.
Holland says during the Lebanese Civil War, which lasted from 1975 to 1990, political parties would stencil their logos all around the city, which would often divide the city along sectarian lines. Following the Israeli invasion in 2006, she says the government banned graffiti that has any kind of political message. It's about this time that these types of street artists began to emerge. She says similar to street artists in the U.S., street artists in Beirut have a limited amount of time before the police arrive. However, Holland says when compared to artists in, say, New York City, street artists in Beirut have a much longer time to work on their pieces.
It's funny. It's legal, but it's illegal, excuse me, but it's tolerated. And so some of my friends actually did get caught by the cops, but more often than not, they could talk their way out of it. And then sometimes the cops would look at the work and be like, oh, that's cool. Can you paint my portrait? And so it's funny how it worked out for them. And so and also the people really like it, too. Some businesses with nice walls will ask some of the artists, you know, can you paint something on this? And so they really are embellishing the city for the good with this. And so I think that the government and the police are really starting to like this kind of street art. And so that they're a little bit more lenient with it rather than tagging that we're commonly used to being associated with being a gangster and stuff like that.
In addition to the street art, the exhibition also features photos of the city and of the Roman ruins in Baalbek, Lebanon. Holland plans to return to Lebanon in May. She says there is a lot of research that's fascinating, but it doesn't always get talked about. So this exhibit is a good way to share the story of these Lebanese street artists whom she learned about through her research.
I just hope that people will be inspired and just really try to understand, you know, try to, like, break things down, you know, rather than just seeing a pretty picture, but understanding the story behind the picture as well, and maybe move forward with that.
Beirut Speaks is on display now at Coco's Lebanese Cafe in Fayetteville. The exhibit is free and open to the public. Professionally mounted prints of the photographs are available for sale. More information is available by emailing jamie.alyss@gmail.com. This is Ozarks at Large.